What is up, everyone? This is Press X to Start podcast. We at Press X seek to transform the video game media landscape through an underserved and protected point of view. Restorative justice for the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. I am your host today, DJ, aka
Sexy Bad Choices.
AKA it is snowing outside and it just stopped, so there goes my AKA. AKA did you know? The Elba family has signed a deal with Crunchyroll to produce, I should say executive produce, a new anime called Dantai. This anime is a futuristic sci-fi series that takes place in a city where it's an even wider gap between the haves and have-nots due to the rise of biotechnology. That basically sounds like cyberpunk but black, and I am excited.
Or Elysium. But anime.
True. I like both of those words. Elysium and Anne.
Anyway. You done, sucker?
I am, yes. Who are you?
I am Sean MF Ross.
Ooh, what the MF stand for?
Maximum Fun Time.
Oh my god. That's maximally amazing.
It's your boy, Jordan, aka JXBot, aka formerly of Raventhorpe, aka Jordan 47.
Jordan 47. Okay. I see what you did there. I like that. Well, with that being said, Jordan, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Hitman 3. Finally got around to it. You know, even though I bought it when it first came out, you know, I just wanted to wait for my television to match the quality graphics they put into it. I'm playing it in 4K on the Xbox Series X. Nice. And it is very fun. IO continues to impress with their Hitman game. I've been playing Hitman before the redesign and new direction the franchise went back in 2016. And for its third iteration, they've done a great job. Every level just feels like a puzzle. But they do allow more flexibility for new gamers, you know, new purchasers of the Hitman franchise, to which, you know, it's very clear the pathing to dispatch certain targets this time around, you know, like they hold your hand pretty aggressively. But this is just the first level, you know, we'll see if that continues as I play through. It's about five levels, and at the most, it'll take me no more than a weekend to beat the game in general.
Yeah.
Just playing it from end to end, like the core storyline, but the depth of the game is the replayability, to which, you know, this level, I was able to start off parachuting into the situation while I have another option to start off as, like, you know, I infiltrated the staff and, you know, it was like basically a plant within the organization and work my way through there. And also what they've done this time around is allow you to manipulate the world each playthrough. So if you were to open to unlock a door or, you know, reveal a pathway, that pathway will be available next time you go through for more opportunities. But also you can run through as a psychopath and just like mow everyone down and, you know, run away, like, you know, naked and afraid plays, you know, stuff like that. But it's great.
You say psychopath, I say fuck stealth option.
Mm-hmm.
I like Hitman, but I always end up hiding too long. I play them entirely too slow.
Well, like the Hitman allows you to hide in plain sight, which is the beauty of it. You know, like there's some attires in the game that gives you access to every area. So you're just kind of just walking around and people are like, oh, hello, sir, you know. And
so does it still have that option, or like if the people, the real people in that the outfit, like recognize you if you stand there too long?
No, I mean, if you have a certain attire on, they're not going to say anything to you. You can stay in their face all the time.
If you're a certain skin tone.
I don't think it's gotten that deep in terms of like like that conversation. But like, if you are a police officer or security guard, you have total agency. But if you do come across the chief of security, you'll get made immediately, you know. And
that's what I mean, basically.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's how the first one was.
Mm-hmm. Have you completed the first level yet? Or are you still in the process of?
Yeah, no, I completed it. Okay. It was fun. You know, it had me, like, there was another assassin there that I took out and I stole their attire. And the main dude's like, hey, I heard you're a pretty awesome assassin. I need you to kill someone else here. And once you do, you take a picture of their body, you go back to them, and then you kill the main guy. Like, once you gain their trust by poisoning their drink. Like, it's very fun.
Did you know that person was an assassin before you took them out?
No. I knew.
Oh, wow. That's
like,
pretty cool.
I knew he was an asshole, though, because he was making a big fuss. Like, if he was an assassin, he was really bad at keeping a low profile. He was, like, complaining about his room and shit. He was there as an audition, which was fun.
Oh, interesting.
But, yeah, like, they're, like, small stories within the world that you can be cognizant of.
Yeah.
And, you know, further expand your options to dispatching people. But that's Hitman 3, so you know, I'll give y'all updates and further, you know, understanding of my exploits.
Okay.
And also, I've been playing Doom Eternal finally. It's been like a year later.
Wow.
I've returned to it in confidence.
With your new 4K TV and Xbox Series
X. Yeah. That essentially, like, I stopped halfway through. I'm like, you know what? Let me wait.
Yeah.
And
so has that been optimized yet or no?
No, I don't think it's going through optimization yet. I would not be surprised if it's optimized once it's put back on Game Pass. It was on Game Pass for a second. They took it off. But after the Bethesda purchase, I see all of Bethesda's inventory just being on Game Pass. And that game being optimized, one of their first games to optimize to regenerate interest in the Doom franchise.
Right.
Again, I mean, I'm not trying to say interest has gone away. But yeah, same review as last time. You know, it's amazing. Okay. And hopefully I beat it. I know there's something huge. I've been able this far to, you know, keep myself pure of any spoils. But there's a giant robot in Doom's castle.
Yeah, I saw that.
I know somewhere that's used. I haven't seen it yet. So I'm very excited about finally going through that sequence of me putting that big-ass Doom robot to use. So that's how I've been playing.
Was that on Game Pass? Or are they going to add it to Game Pass?
It was on Game Pass for a second. I think they're going to re-add it to Game Pass once the Bethesda purchase goes through and it be optimized for Series X.
Gotcha.
I may try it because I don't want to buy it.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Oddly enough.
It's a great game. Well, speaking of trying things, Sean, what you been playing?
I'm going to start off with the trash first. I played the Balan Wonderworld demo.
Yeah.
Man, this is peak.
Yo.
Dreamcast, early PS3. Like, the characters themselves, the models look amazing. The hair looks, you know, fantastic.
Bruh.
But
Real quick, everyone who is watching or listening to this, do yourself a favor and go to the Balan Wonderworld website. That shit is like a 2000s website. It is.
I was just about to say peak early 2000s.
Yes, that shit is wonderful trash.
Just because you have pedigree in the industry doesn't mean that you shouldn't have people checking you. Like,
absolutely.
Yuji Naka is an amazing creator, but some of this stuff is just unforgivable. The I don't know if it's the frame rate or the camera speed that damn near almost makes me nauseous. The camera speed is too slow. You should be able to adjust it. The skybox and the kind of blurred out background just looks like trash. The controls are sluggish.
You're not that cute. And your hair is uneven. You look dusty.
It's a strange game, though. You know what? It's funny I say it's trash, but I actually want to go back and finish the demo.
Really? So I heard that like all the buttons just jump or some ridiculous shit.
Yeah, all the face buttons on the controller do the same thing. And I want to say that's almost wild. Yeah, it's strange. They super oversimplified it. Like on the homepage, no matter what you highlight, you know, normally you hit X to select something, circle and back out, triangle and square do nothing. No, they all select. they all select. I'm not even quite sure what the fuck is going on in the game. this is something you have to experience for yourself, or at least go watch a video. It's quite strange.
I would recommend watching a video versus going through the pain of downloading that and actually playing it and then realizing that you just wasted
your time.
I mean, just
to experience it. I mean, it's free. But there are 80 costumes for you to obtain, and they all
80?
Do one singular thing. Yeah, apparently about 80.
Oh, so that's where all the budget went into making these damn costumes.
And you can switch between the costumes with your trigger buttons or the, you know, the bumper buttons, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't have many good things to say about this game other than...
So what else have you been playing?
Like, I guess this game is for kids, but I mean, even if it's for kids, they can still play quality games. This shit is just like, could be better.
You know what?
But other than,
I really appreciate the fact that you are giving this like the honest try to like pull out the diamonds in the rough for this, because I would have been like, this is trash, don't do it, next game.
I finished Maneater. I platinumed that.
This
was something, once again, like I tell everybody, anytime there's a PlayStation Plus game, games for gold, whatever, just add it to your library. You don't gotta play it right away. When you're bored trying to figure out what the fuck to play, go through your stuff that's, you know, there.
Yeah.
I played Maneater, and like I said, I think I said this last time, oddly enough, I could not put it down. I started it, and I played it till I platinumed it. Like, I mainlined the game.
Yeah, actually, I heard the same from another podcast. Like, it is very... The gameplay loop is very addictive in terms of you being a shark and biting things up.
It is trash at first. It is trash, because you have to... It's super repetitive. Think of Call of Duty, but... And when I say Call of Duty, like, you're shooting, you know, the trigger, that's your eat button. And you have to bite things multiple times, but you can thrash them around and tail whip them and stuff.
Yeah.
But once I got my first upgrade, I was hooked.
Okay.
And I was like, I need all of them. And
interesting.
It's just a nice feeling. I think I said last time, you know, the first big thing that you encounter is like alligators.
Yeah.
Then they move on to what do they call them? Orcas? Or killer sharks? The black and white
killer
ones.
Killer whales. Yeah.
They have sperm whales in this game.
Is there dolphins in the game?
Yes. I believe so. Either dolphins or seals.
What's the relationship with the dolphins? I'd be very interested to know.
You eat everything. Oh, everything is prey in this game.
Well, this is very arcade then, because generally sharks are actually afraid of dolphins. Did you know sharks are afraid of dolphins?
This ain't Shark Week. Save it.
Right.
It may just be seals.
Okay.
But it's funny. They have a perk to make things that are smaller than you stop attacking you, because there are some things in the game, they're just like, fuck it, YOLO. There's a level one, I think they call it Muskellunge, that attacks you whether you're level 1 or level 30. Fuck it, he's coming for your head. No matter what. But eventually, you move in, you get to hammerhead sharks and sperm whales, and there's another type of shark. That it's shark
tiger?
On shark action.
Bull?
No, you
whale?
Do get a tiger. You do get a tiger shark skin.
Oh, Mako shark?
And maybe? Yes, that's what it was, okay. I believe.
I like sharks, guys, so I know sharks.
And it's funny because in the game, it said the sperm whale was like the third biggest whale in the ocean. And like, who knows, you might see a blue whale. And I was like, oh shit. Like, at first, I was scared of the blue sperm whale because it's level 45. Your max level is 30.
Oh, shit.
And these things just whip you all around the fucking place. But after I killed that first one, I was like, all right, this ain't so bad. Right. They have three different, I'm going to call them outfits. You have a bioelectric outfit, you have a rock one, and then a shadow skin that like throws poison balls and, you know, what have you. And eventually...
I got to say, I didn't expect... any of those three.
There's a lot in this game. There's legit a lot in this game. It's just it's high budget and low budget at the same time. They have reference to a bunch of things. They got reference to fucking kaiju and
interesting.
Like what's that? Pacific Rim. Like there's a dome with it's padlocked shut and it's glowing and it's supposed to represent something like Pacific Rim.
You can't like interact with it at all?
Maybe if they have some DLC. It just tells you about it.
Gotcha.
But I, if they had a sequel, I would play it. Other than that, I tried Destruction All-Stars.
How was that? Was that higher than a 7 out of 10? I need it.
This game is fine.
Oh, okay.
Fine's like a 7.
This game is fine.
Real quick, can you get a job at an outlet and review the game so I can get my Open Critic score?
For context, DJ took a hit this week after Destruction All-Stars Metacritic score came out. It wasn't the best.
Yeah.
This is a slow-paced destruction derby.
That's disappointing.
It's kind of fun. It's fine. I don't know how to explain this game. Yeah. You can jump out of your car at any moment. You have a special ability. Your car has a special ability. They have like 5 or 6 different game modes. It has a story, but they leaned heavily into microtransactions. And I'm hoping they only added this because they made it free to play.
PlayStation Plus.
But it's going to leave PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, so I think this game is really weird because it was, and you can tell because it was slated to be a launch title. And I think, like, because, like, the story content that is in the game, it's now locked behind premium coin.
And I was about to say that. Yeah, I don't, yeah. What the fuck? This was supposed to be a 70. It's going to be a $70 game once it leaves PlayStation Plus.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see what happens then if they, like, change some stuff up because
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of interested in the first little story thing they give you where you're the big black luchador and this young kid comes to challenge you. And, you know, you go through a few different type of matches where you're either smashing them up or collecting stuff.
Right.
And then I was like, all right, well, you know, I'll play this to platinum. I mean, I'll play it to completion. But no, I'm not going to buy a premium coin to see the next part of the story.
Yeah.
When this was supposed to be a $70 game.
Right.
Come the hell on. Other than that, I just played a new Apex season. They introduced a new character called Fuse. He is a explosive specialist.
Oh, that's the same guy that was... covered a couple. Okay, cool.
That they said they stole the character design.
Yeah.
Other than that, they just brought back the first map, King's Canyon. They did some changes to it. Jordan, you should come on by.
Yeah, I have it updated on Series X, and if you just give me your not your Xbox, it's crossplay, so I can play you on your PS5.
I wonder how that works, but okay.
Just give me your PS5 thing, and I can find you in the game itself. Not through, like, you know, the Xbox app, but in the game itself. That's how crossplay usually works.
I got you. Well, yeah, we'll play. But other than that, that's all I played.
That sounds like a lot of fun. So, in terms of what I've been playing, you already know what it is.
You've been playing trash.
Wow. No, I haven't. Thank you very much, Jordan. Oh, also, when are you going to play Hades? Anyways.
It's so lame.
I play a little bit of Ghost. You know, same stuff. I've enjoyed the game. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy hacking and slashing at people. But between, I guess, this cast and the last cast, Gundam came back online. So I played Gundam. And they released a new map. It's really cool. It actually gives me like Armor Core vibes. If any of y'all played Armor Core, the one thing that you could do.
Yeah.
Really?
No, I didn't.
Armor Core was so dumb.
Armor Core was Dark Souls before Dark Souls was Dark Souls.
Because like, the last one was 4, right?
Armor Core actually, 4? No. Kingsfield was Dark Souls before Dark Souls. From Software made Kingsfield on the PlayStation.
So Armor Core was Kingsfield before Dark Souls.
DJ, anyways. Shut up and get on with your shit.
I know. Ain't no one's trying to hear about these games.
Gundam, they released a new map. It's awesome. They compensated players for the whole PS4 outage. It's getting a little heat because their compensation didn't really suit for the amount of time that the game was offline for PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that Gundam's, microtransaction store thing works is that every week there is a new mobile suit that's put out. So, and every day you can get up to 3 coins by doing like the dailies essentially. And so basically, because it's every week that a new suit's put out, that week that they had the down, no one was able to get coins for like 3 or 4 days. So people missed out on being able to get that suit naturally by amassing a certain number of coins.
They should have just gave away the fucking suit.
Yeah. A lot of people were like, they should have gave more premium coin as a compensation to basically match the days that it was offline. But I don't know. Anyways. That has been what we've been playing for this week. Before we have
breaking news. I just got a notification from Sony that Final Fantasy XIV's Endwalker expansion is going to be a free open beta on PS5.
Oh, that is kind of cool.
I'm going to play it.
I might actually. Oh, but that's the turn-based thing, right?
I shouldn't play it. No, that's the MMO.
Isn't it turn-based? Can you dodge attacks? Like run away from attacks?
It's a active time battle type weird shit.
Man, I'm
it's,
skipping it's, that then.
it's kind of like 15.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so now that's been what we've been playing. Before we get to our sponsors, here's a quick League of Extraordinary Gentlemen update, our fantasy league that we got going on. Make sure you follow it at the website of pressxnumber2start.com/league, or you can go to the website pressxnumber2start.com and just click on the fantasy league graphic that is on the homepage. So as we talked about Destruction Derby, I am right now sitting with -4 points. No one else has any points, so I am currently losing.
Well, no, you know, I mean, there's another thing that happened. You know, Marcus Overwatch didn't come out, so he got 0 points for that, and I don't know if it populated.
But that's going to get tabulated towards the end of the year, though. I guess he'll lose points if it doesn't get released.
Yeah, and no one else has negative points, so.
Untrue, okay.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. You guys made some purchases into this new week, so we'll see what happens. But with that being said, now it is a word from our sponsors. Dove body soap.
Kente hats.
Oh, wait. Sponsor us.
Hey, everybody. Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best last news, reviews, and all things video games? Then we need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, share it with your friends, family, frenemies, people down the street. Every little bit helps. To see what we're up to throughout the week, follow us on either Facebook and Instagram at PressX2Start, on Twitter at PressX2S, and on YouTube at PressX2StartTV. If you've done this, many thanks. You're one of the good ones.
And we are back. So, now it is time for the quick hits. DJ, take it away. Thanks, DJ. Number one, somber news. This comes from Bethesda's Twitter account. We are deeply saddened to tell you the passing of Robert A. Altman, our founder and CEO. He was a true visionary, friend, and believer in the spirit of people and the power of what they could accomplish together. He was an extraordinary leader and an even better human being. So Bethesda posted this pretty lengthy letter, you know, just kind of detailing how great of a person Robert Altman was.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not exactly sure what he passed from, but, you know, it sucks to always see like a big person go, so...
Well, I mean, like, not to belittle his passing nor his importance in Bethesda, but when people equate leadership to Bethesda, think about Todd Howard, and he's just a voice. Not trying to say, you know, it's any less of a loss, but I'm not too familiar with Bethesda video games in general to measure his impact. But, you know, he's a founder, so
exactly
probably dates back to Fallout 1, the first Fallout games.
I believe like he was like one of the people that like allowed Todd Howard to be like Todd Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, number two, this comes from Sony's earnings call. So, basically there was a bunch of things that was dropped from this earning call that a lot of industry people talked about. So we'll just talk about it. First off, PS5 sold 4.5 million units in less than 2 months. This is great news. It's awesome news, but it's also, you know, the parallel to it is that a portion of that number went to scalpers. So
they can't help but
put a portion in quotations. Okay. So, like, that's not a portion, like a shit ton went to,
you know,
scalpers.
I was trying to find the exact number because I remember that we reported on like a percentage that went to scalpers, but I couldn't find that number.
It was less than like 5%.
Was it that little? Like less than 5?
It's legitimate people got it. It's less than 5% of scalpers who got that shit.
Hmm.
It's just concentrated because we do news on scalpers and we're looking online. But they sold 4.5 million. There's not 2 million for sale on StockX and eBay.
Well, yeah, I know. I don't think it's that. I believe it's less than a million, but I think it's like around 200,000 or something like that. I couldn't find the number. But yeah. The other thing that was learned was that Sony is selling the PS5 at a loss, investors told, which is not
we
necessarily.
Didn't learn shit. We should already know that, because I've been saying that for the past 12 months.
So here's the thing, though. Due to the scarcity of the components, it drove the manufacturing cost of the PS5 to $450. Mm-hmm. So based off of that, the normal version of the console is sold at $500, so they're breaking even with that. But the digital version is only sold at $400, so they're losing money on that. And I think that's why there is such a lack of digital version consoles out there, is because Sony's looking at that like, you know, this is a consumer move, but they're not wanting to really spend that money.
Right.
Which
sucks. I beg to differ. Them losing money is normal at launch.
Well, and here's what Sony needs to figure out. I mean, Microsoft is losing money with the Xbox Series X too.
Exactly.
But Microsoft's making hand over fist due to that service Game Pass. So, like, it's like, you know, you got to move out of it. You got to move out the console market. Not trying to say consoles are going to go away, but
subscription services, where is that?
In terms of basic economics, Sony needs to figure it out.
What I'm saying is that it's a front-facing consumer move, but because they don't want to lose that money, even though they're already losing money on the consoles, that's why there is a lack of digital editions. Like, to produce a digital edition PS5, it requires less parts than a normal PS5. Yet there is less of those out there, which is crazy.
Yeah, well, like, your story's adjacent to the AMD graphics cards that are very hard for both companies to get because, you know, like, production.
That is also stupid. They're scalping those.
So.
Well, on good news, Spider-Man Miles Morales has sold 4.1 million copies.
It's as if every PlayStation came with a copy of Miles Morales. I mean, it, like, not trying to say that's what it was literally, but the 5.5 million units move and the 4.1 million units move, like, those are pretty close together.
Right.
Not trying to say it's a one for one, like, you know, there's many people.
It says about 71%.
Yeah, so that was for the UK chart. So 71% of sales went to PS5. So basically, a lot of people did get Spider-Man Miles Morales on the PS5.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number three, this comes from Video Game Chronicles. Xbox Series X/S shipments are trailing PS5 by over 1 million, analyst claims. So, analyst Daniel... that is not how you spell Daniel.
Ahmad?
Yes, Daniel Ahmad claims that Xbox Series X shipped almost 3.5 million consoles, which is pretty good number. It's one of those things where, due to COVID,
right,
we don't know if these numbers are close because of the fan base is just like more evenly split, or is it just Xbox could only produce 3.5 million and Sony could only produce 4.5 million?
I think it's a mix of Xbox was like, they were not able to produce as many as they wanted to.
Right.
And the pandemic has driven up all electronic sales.
Yeah.
Another part of it is this is shipped. And shipped is different than units sold.
It's different, we can pretty much speculate that ship is sold because Xbox made a claim that they're not going to have any more consoles until summer or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, we can pretty much speculate that these are already sold.
Yeah, like, it's. I think Sony's coming off of an amazing generation, so they already had, you know, consumer demand for their PlayStation. But I think because the pandemic has affected supplies on both sides. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say whether or not one is super performing over the other or underperforming.
Exactly.
It's going to take a longer period of time in a generation for things to become more and more normal. And we can better gauge consumer interest once you start seeing whether or not consoles are, you know, being left at the Target, being left at the Walmart on shelves. Because, you know, like, it's hard to determine advantage right now in terms of demand.
Well, speaking of advantage, this comes from Den of Geeks. Number four, Nintendo Switch sales numbers prove it can easily outsell PS5 and Xbox Series X. The Nintendo Switch has sold 79.87 million units after its first 46 months on market. So to compare this, the PS4 sold around 67 million units, the PS2 sold around 69.5 million, and the Wii was just under 75 million.
How much does the Nintendo Switch cost?
300,
yeah.
And then 200 for the Lite.
Yeah. So
I mean, like, I think out of all of them, it is a cheaper one. Easier. I mean, I'm not trying to say there's no value in the Switch, but, you know, cost does affect consumer interest.
Oh, absolutely.
And also, it does have the killer Animal Cross app.
I'm about to say, yep. The next thing that goes with it is, oh, to actually add on to that last statement, the Nintendo Switch has surpassed the 3DS. So that's a really, really big thing as well, because for a long time, 3DS was the best-selling, like, I want to say best-selling console. I'm not sure if it was just best-selling handheld console. But anyways.
So I just want to say one thing. So the Switch has been out for way longer than the PS5 and Xbox Series X. The real proof is when the Switch HD or the Switch 2, whatever that's going to be called,
right,
comes out, and then we'll be able to see whether or not the Switch can, you know, outdo Microsoft and Sony. Not trying to say it won't. I think Nintendo totally can, but give us those numbers when the next Switch comes out for us to have a fair comparison.
You know, I feel like it will. I feel like when the next Switch comes out, it will outsell the PS5 and Xbox Series X, only because
cost
is one thing, but just games exclusives, like
and it's family friendly. People get Nintendo systems as a companion to their Sony or Xbox, whatever.
Yeah, it's rarely a household that solely has a Switch, and it usually would have other consoles next
That's
to it.
That's the thing. Like, if people are going to be a two console household, it's either going to be PlayStation or Xbox and a Switch. So,
and you got to take into account that people get multiple Switches for themselves and their kids. Yeah. So a house may have one PlayStation and like three Switches in the house.
Right.
Like, because of what's that shit they were playing?
Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing. Yeah. One island per Switch. So people ended up just getting their own Switches.
Speaking of Animal Crossing, number five, this comes from IGN. Animal Crossing New Horizons sold 31 million copies. To give context, Animal Crossing New Horizons is getting even closer to passing Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which sold 33.4 million copies. To give you even more context, Super Smash Bros. Is the third best-selling game, which is at 22.85 million copies, followed by Legend of Zelda, which is at 21.45, followed by Pokemon Sword and Shield at 20.35, and Super Mario Odyssey, which is at 20.23. That 31 million copies is insane. That game came out last year. That sold 31 million
less
copies
less than 12 months ago.
Yeah, in less than like that is insane. Again, Animal Crossing is the game of 2020, and there is no doubt about that. Number six. This comes from GameSpot. Google Stadia is shutting down its game studio.
This is hilarious.
Impacting 150 people, including Jade Raymond. It sucks, but like, everyone kind of saw the writing on the wall the minute Google Stadia came out. Like,
what's Stadia's pathway forward with this? Because
as a gaming platform, they should just be a platform.
Just refining their platform, getting any missing features that they don't have already, and
trying to make it
more user friendly.
People are going to be drawn to your same as game consoles. What apps do you have on that's going to actually drive people there? Like, what is the reason to get Google Stadia right now, game-wise?
There is no reason, ultimately, because
Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk was the reason to get Stadia. Cyberpunk.
But they weren't marketing it, though. They didn't fucking know. They weren't even testing
that. No. Google Stadia was marketing Cyberpunk, but it was being overshadowed by everything else.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, in hindsight, and fucking CD Projekt Red, we're not going to come out with that type of marketing saying that our game only works well on Google. They were not going to say that shit.
Well, they didn't say a lot of shit, so.
So, I mean, so John was answering, you know, like, what is the universe of platform subscriptions, why the fuck is Stadia right now?
Like, pretty much anyone who wants to play serious games already has a Xbox or PlayStation. If you follow the Stadia subreddit, there are a bunch of rabid fans for whatever reason say that they sold their PlayStation and Xbox. Yeah, they sold their consoles to Switch, you know, exclusively over Stadia, but we don't have the bandwidth or internet infrastructure in the U.S. to sustain something like the Stadia.
Right. Which was what I was saying from the jump.
because Stadia doesn't allow you to download the games onto your device. Like, they have to stream them. Like, that S Cloud is still in beta mode. Like, even notice not ready to go.
Yep. Where the Stadia would kill, they don't even allow, because it's only in a few of the major countries. But there are a lot of people who want to play games but can't afford the consoles because of import taxes or whatever, tariff. But they could definitely afford just a game. You know, they can get a controller and a game, or they can play on their PC or on their phone.
Yep.
But Google doesn't allow for, you know, other countries have way better mobile speeds and internet speeds than we do.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
On top of that, like, I feel like if Google nailed down the integration with YouTube, that could be a really...
I mean, it's in there.
Yeah,
you can click to play games.
I thought it did work.
Yeah, you can click to play games directly. Oh. It only works for a few games so far, I believe. Oh. But you can click stream, and it'll stream directly to YouTube. And I believe, like, I got the email for the Immortals Phoenix Rising demo.
Mm-hmm.
You could click to play directly in the email, and it would boot up.
Yeah. No. I mean, when you, per their marketing, was like, if you're watching YouTube video, there is a button to click to play this game. And you click that game.
Yes.
Click the button. Oh, so that works now.
I don't know if it works for every game, but it works.
Oh, okay. Well,
they just market it poorly because, like, you thought you needed a Stadia Pro subscription to play it. But no, you can buy a game individually. And you don't, you know, the Stadia Pro is really only to get the free games every month or to play in 4K.
Yeah.
Which... that's not important to a whole lot of people. If you're really needing something like that, you're going to be playing on a
console,
you know, regular console anyway.
Yeah. So I think our advice is buy Game Pass. Do yourself a favor.
We'll see what Amazon Luna does, because that's something.
So no. Okay.
Hopefully they're actually seeing this stuff and they're making like better choices, because they put out their stuff, but there hasn't been much said on it.
Google Stadia players are slowly becoming the Betamax people of our generation. Remember, or a Laserdisc? Like, it's slowly going over there.
You know who set this argument to rest? Ja Rule. Where's Ja when you need him?
He's over there on Wall Street Bets.
Number 7 from Screen Rant. Maybe Ja Rule will be in the next Final Fantasy VII remake story. So, speaking of which, the developers has said that it will continue to go beyond players' expectations. So, developers to the sequel said that they're heavily implying that the game will continue to rewrite the story.
This is for Final Fantasy Remake 2.
Yeah. This is the sequel. So, cool. There's not really any more information other than that. So, number 8. This comes from Jeff Keighley's Twitter. This is actually on Activision's earnings call. So, during the earnings call, Activision Blizzard said that they're not expecting to have Overwatch 2 or Diablo 4 to launch this year.
You know what?
What do they have slated for this year, though?
Call of Duty. Call of Duty 2021 coming by a sledgehammer.
I mean, that's enough to carry them through.
You know who we can start to blame? Tencent.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Just keep your eyes. Because, like, this is when that purchase, we start feeling the effects of the, you know, Blizzard Activision purchase. Yeah. Like they are purchased by Tencent. So it's like, keep your eyes on the quality of Activision's work going forward.
Huh, that's a good point. I totally forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I totally forgot about. Number 9, this comes from Kotaku. Prince of Persia, Sands of Time remake delayed indefinitely. So, there's two sides to this, right? Indefinitely could be 2024, or it could be November or December of this year. I believe Last of Us delayed the game, and they said the same thing, like indefinitely or some big PS5 or PS4 game did the same thing last year, but it was just like a week or two went by and they're like, okay, we have a new release date. So we don't know really what this means, but this is Ubisoft, so, you know.
If you say so.
All right, number 10, this goes on The Verge. GoldenEye is canceled. Xbox 360 remake leaks online and it is playable. Jordan has more information. Jordan, tell me about this.
Yeah, so a launch of Rare purchase back in the early 2000s, and Perfect Dark Zero came out, and they made a remake of a Perfect Dark game that also came out of the first N64 version of Perfect Dark. They actually got the video game rights to GoldenEye that Rare had owned, but what's becoming clear due to the cancellation of this purchase, because like this is still Microsoft's second console, and you know, like, they weren't throwing the same amount of weight as they're throwing right now. The licenses of James Bond is the messiest legal nonsense that you're ever going to see. I was researching online, and there just isn't a straight answer. There are many companies at various levels of the James Bond's, like, you know, license that can do certain things with it. Mm-hmm. Some are able to own the home box office rights or Netflix style rights.
Yeah.
Well, because I think Netflix just had a whole bunch of Pierce Brosnan ones on there. In terms of the movie rights, I think Sony has a vested interest in the movie rights of James Bond films because they acquired MGM.
Interesting fact. Press X to Start owns the POG rights to James Bond.
We might as well. So, like, going through all that...
If you go to pressxnumber2start.com/POG, you will see...
You remember POGs, guys?
Going through all that, it's clear that Microsoft at the time just didn't want to deal with it, you know, and right. Rare had a tremendous amount of work done on it. I mean, if you take go online, type in, you know, GoldenEye remake, and the game looks very done. Like, they've even gone down to the UI and changed that. I mean, it's just, it just probably needed maybe a few more months of polish, but it was ready to go. And, you know, gamers can only imagine the amount of time, that could have been put into that game that, you know, would have made it a better experience, because
Cyberpunk only needed a few more months of polish.
So, like, Xbox Live was still hot at the time. You can only imagine how great it would have been to, you know, go through library, go to archives and stuff like that, full screen with 8 other players playing, you know, James Bond game modes. I mean, the game sells itself. So, but I don't know, maybe the spike in interest could allow it to be a thing, but the source code is already online, and anybody that really wants to play it can totally play it on, like, a basic desktop, a Google Chromecast, you know, like, most computers can run it, and those who really want to probably already got their hands on it, so I don't see Phil Spencer going, you know, it's a good idea. No, it's a done deal. It's never going to come to Xbox Live proper, unfortunately.
Well, fun story, I never played GoldenEye.
Speaking of things coming back, this comes from Ars Technica number 11. EA is getting back into college football without NCAA and players' license.
I wonder how this is going to work.
You guys excited for college football, EA?
No, I'm not. Because
how is this even going to work?
I mean, like, it's still a crappy design, like, in terms of the college football issue.
Yeah.
Of those players, you know, like, putting their bodies to all that garbage and, like, oh, you get to go to school for free. I'm like, well, you're not expected to be a lawyer. You're expected to be a football player.
Right.
But you're not being paid for it.
And even then, they still have to skip classes to make practice and all that stuff.
And all the collusion, you know, in terms of making sure players, you know, and, like, no. EA is the most appropriate publisher for this fuckery.
So, just to talk about what Jordan is saying. So, in the early stages of development, it will be making... It, as in this, the college football game, will be making its return without license from the NCAA or the rights to the names of the likenesses of the actual college players. But EA is still watching to make sure they're basically watching as developments happen to see if they could secure those licenses, because I think they think that, okay, this doesn't feel right.
I'll be impressed if they allow for HBCUs to be in the inventory, because black schools had to make their own. Remember the Doug Williams experience?
No, remember I have no idea.
Look it up.
Wait. So HBCUs aren't in NCAA?
I don't believe so. I remember Doug Williams, former quarterback of the Redskins. I led the Redskins to those, you know, wins back in the 90s, made his own football game called the HBCU Experience.
They only have it's one called Black College Football, BCFX.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Doug Williams helped bring that game to life.
I've never heard of this. This is on Xbox 360. Wow.
Yeah.
So I
kind of says something. Because remember, like, they haven't made an NCAA game in a long time. But even at that time, I do not remember HBCUs
so
being...
I just quickly searched HBCUs not in NCAA. And it basically, there is this article from The Undefeated saying NCAA banned of 15 HBCU teams from postseason play is polite racism.
Yeah.
That's
yo, this
wild.
Looks this game looks like Drumline, the video game. This shit has a fucking drumline that looks like Guitar Hero.
And yeah, you know what? I bet you the halftime in that game was way lit than NCAA's was.
Yeah, it says halftime is still game time. All right. Superhuman band drills and drum major performances will keep you in your seat.
We have exceeded the allowed amount of time we have to talk about football. Number 12. This comes from...
But we're talking about black people right now. What do you have against... Where's my koofy, goddammit?
It's fine, DJ. Keep going. We had to have answers. Come on.
Well, since you said that, John. Anyways, is number 12. This comes from Pure Xbox. EA praises Xbox Game Pass partnership as EA Play nears 13 million subscribers. It said that the integration of EA Play to Xbox Game Pass has accelerated the subscribers for EA Play. So that's cool.
I mean,
publishers to stick with their own kind.
I mean, like, there were those rumors at the beginning of this year that Ubisoft Plus may try to get on some of that action. And
that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, there's an effect, a cause and effect of people like, oh, like, there's, even though we have our own opinions of EA games and probably have played a good amount of them, there's some people that are like, oh, like, this EA Play thing is an option too. So that's all.
Yeah. So, okay. Next up, number 13, we have Battlefield 6 news, and we have it from a couple of sources. So the first one is actually a Jeff Keighley tweet, and this is actually during an EA earnings call. There's a lot of earnings calls happening. This new Battlefield will release this holiday season with massive immersive battles with more players than ever before.
Jordan, you with it?
Hell yeah, I'm with it. What are you talking about? Like, it's going to be great.
On top of that, Battlefield 6 will take inspiration from Crackdown 3 and will have fully destructible cities. You excited for that?
Yeah, because they'd already had that in Bad Company 1, Bad Company 2, 3, and 4. Like, destructibility was the main draw for these Battlefield games.
I remember the video of the team, like, knocking out the support pillars in the bottom of some, like... giant high-rise
skyscraper
building. Yeah.
That
yeah.
shit was awesome.
That was pretty
cool. It transforms the whole map.
So instead of just one building, they want to expand it to many buildings. I mean, like, you know, in the earlier Battlefields, the tallest structure you can destroy is possibly three stories tall.
Okay.
But they want to have the same scale, so that's only possible with these current generation of consoles. My question is, how will that play on the Xbox One and the PS4? You know, because like
it
I
won't.
Think
it better not.
Yeah. Like, you know, EA, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of anxious because, you know, I'm
I would say they need to just have it just on the next gen systems. By that time, the shortage should be alleviated somewhat.
Yeah.
Yes. I totally agree. And EA gave, you know, DICE a whole second year to get this game done and focus all their work into it, both their Star Wars Battlefront department and their Battlefield department. So
yeah,
they're not lacking resources here on like Cyberpunk. So come on.
So last for the quick hits. This comes from Screen Rant. AC Valhalla fans are furious at Ubisoft prioritizing microtransactions over DLC. I didn't know this was a thing. Apparently, Valhalla has costumes or outfits. But behind a paywall in the game, this is a fucking single player game. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, apparently, it was back in. Yeah, I'm gonna imagine.
I was gonna say I saw an article saying that about 9.
Yeah.
Outfits, you know, you can get through microtransactions, which is about half of everything that's available, or
that's
more than half.
Fucking bullshit. This is.
But go ahead, Jordan. Yeah.
So yeah, like Odyssey had the same microtransaction issue, but it was more so about progression. Like if you want to high track your character,
like the XP boost, right?
And yeah, speeding up your levels and stuff. But there was also a cosmetic microtransaction portion in Odyssey, but they're still like it's not like they are not coming out with DLC. They've already talked about Paris being next. The next DLC for this game.
Yeah.
They're expanding Norway and the other one, and they're adding more realms and stuff like that. So the problem
was... Did the cosmetics do something in Odyssey? Did they have stat
boosts? No, they don't. They were just cosmetic. And like,
but in Valhalla, they do.
I don't remember them doing anything in Valhalla.
In Valhalla, all your clothes have stat boosts.
Yeah, well, yeah, your armors do, but I'm talking about like the cosmetics... in this game are not directly related to stats, I don't believe so. Because like, it just seemed like skins for your Eivor. So, I do know my arm, like certain armor sets had higher stats than others. I am familiar with that. What I'm saying is people are worried about them putting so much more interest in cosmetics that have no effect on your gameplay over the DLCs, which have been impressive in the past. And that's, I can understand the apprehension.
Well, that's it for the quick hits. Now it is time for the heavy hitters. And I believe, Jordan, you are up.
So Mass Effect is coming out, I guess.
Wait, what?
After all this time, Mass Effect's legendary. I'm just very sad for the Mass Effect franchise in general. Mm-hmm. It's very much so a shell of itself. Because we, you know, if you're following this podcast, we had speculation on whether or not Mass Effect 1 was going to be complete redesign. No, it's just a touch-up, mostly done by AI. You know, only in certain portions, like character designs, they are actually going in and adding, like, you know, more detail.
And cameras, too. They're modifying the camera angles.
Yeah, and it's not... Whatever they're asking for, if it's above $40, it's not worth it. I'm currently replaying the whole series. I'm in Mass Effect 2 right now on the Xbox, and there's some charm in this jank that I would not want to see removed, I guess. Like, it's kind of weird. I mean, there are some audio issues that I hope they improve, but those games were so well made at the time that it's very difficult to bring reason to a cosmetic remake. You know, you want to get a little bit more invasive in this core game design. So, yeah, it's coming out. And it's going to be in 4K. And as a super Mass Effect fan that read a few of the novels and comics, and like, I was really into it, that this is boring. I mean, hopefully at the end of it, there's a stinger for Mass Effect 4,
which I just watched online,
but I don't know.
I think this is basically, it's a weird thing, but I think this is going to use to drum up interest for a new Mass Effect game, because we all know how bad Andromeda did. So I firmly believe, like, you know, Mass Effect is still a like AAA property that could sell well if, you know, done right.
Yes.
But I think this is one of the things where BioWare as a studio is working on so many different things that this is probably the most they could do versus actually remaking like the like, if they were to remake all three, like, that wouldn't be out until fucking 2025 or some shit, because that's such a big lift, and they're already slated for Anthem 2.0, and we still haven't heard anything from that. We don't even know how fucking far they are with that game.
It's just on a hard drive in some guy's pocket. So it's like, one notable thing that I am noticing in Mass Effect 2, again, in terms of you know, the male guys issue, fetishizing women.
Oh, the male gaze.
The male gaze. Like, they are trying to address that, because there were portions of Mass Effect 2 to which you kind of have to roll your eyes. Like, you know, I know this was 2010, and I know that things were quote unquote different back then, but it's like, yeah, it's like this, you know, Miranda was, it's like, she's the only one in a skin tight suit. Mm-hmm. You know, she's quote unquote the perfect woman.
Mm-hmm. A white woman!
You know, and it's like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, so they plan on addressing that and also adding new alien races. We'll see.
No. The alien race thing was from Andromeda. So that was a whole separate story.
Oh, okay. So they're not going to add new alien races.
So the story about that was that Andromeda actually had a bunch of alien races that they had like designed and developed, but they were cut due to budgeting.
I could tell, because the races they had in that game, some races were just fucking like geometric robots. They called a race. Oh, like, you remember when you went to the ship, it's like they were like a race of builders or whatever. Yeah. Like, this guy's just a steel box floating around with turrets on it. It's not an alien. This is a weapon.
Oh shit! Yeah.
So yeah.
It's, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm of two minds when it comes to Mass Effect. Like, I only played Mass Effect 2. I didn't play 3 or Andromeda. I didn't play 1 because I didn't have an Xbox. I really liked Mass Effect 2. I thought it was cool. The only reason why I didn't play 3 was because by the time I was at a place to buy it, everyone was already talking about like how terrible the ending was and so on and so forth. So like it was just like, I guess I'll skip. But
I remember the ending of Mass Effect 3 being so bad, I had to sit my mom down and put her like a full 25-minute explanation of how bad it was. I had no one else
mom,
to talk
to. Hey, mom, we need to talk real quick.
I must have annoyed the hell out of her. I was like, well, and you see here, you know, how could this be real when they just dropped this kid out of nowhere and made me choose three options? Which one was the right one? You know, she was like, while folding clothes.
Like, your mom's like,
I was so turned out by that game. I was, man, I was
like,
a fiend.
Your mom's like, so wait. There are aliens in this game.
she was that meme of the black woman with the cover looking up, just confused. Happy. That's what she was. So that's Mass Effect. Don't buy it. Don't support that nonsense. Fuck yeah.
All right. Well, with that being said, I think we are done with the heavy hitters. Well, this has been a wonderful episode of the award-winning podcast, because I think that's the first time I said it for this year. Press X to start podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoy making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting apps and on our YouTube channel, because every little bit counts and helps, and we need the help. We're trying to do big things. We need your help to do big things. In case you missed any details, you can find all of this and more on our new redesigned website at pressxnumber2start.com. Until next time, where maybe I'll be playing Control. Maybe I won't. We'll see.
Are you playing the remastered edition, or are you playing the original Janet Jackson Control? And will you be getting a Jerry curl as you're playing Control?
I think I have some Amazon purchases to make. All right,
peace.